It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday. We are live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, our home away from home. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Sean Mark is here as our on-site engineer. JoJo, how you doing?
What's going on, man? It's a great Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We got a fun show packed. CMA Fanfare Fest is in full effect. There's 18 million people downtown, all wearing the same exact outfit. And then so we're down here too, so let's have some fun.
What time are you going on the twice daily stage?
1:30 today.
1:30.
I do a stand-up comedy routine from 1:30 to 2, and then 2 to 2:30 I bring out – I do the best of Buddy Jewel.
Nice.
So I know you're in the kitchen with him today cooking up some watermelon kale.
Yeah.
Wow. Chase, you're in the kitchen again. So I'll be excited to do some Buddy Jewel songs at 2 o'clock today.
Sean Mark's band is down on the Riverfront stage, I think, at 3:30.
They are. And they are doing a bunch of Lee Greenwood covers.
Oh, I cannot wait for that.
So we're going to have a fun day. We're 102.5 is fully downtown. We're ready to go today and so excited. So we're looking forward to
it. Dr. Crane, are you playing with the Skillets again this year?
Yeah, all about it. They got me on three strings back there.
Nice. Very nice.
Nice. And then don't forget at Ascend tonight at 6, Joe Rexroad is doing his one-man play, Screaming at Clouds. So that's going to be a good show. It's award-winning. I mean, he's gotten a lot of great reviews for that, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Cannot wait. No, it's funny. I drove in, drove downtown to the Omni, and I go a certain way to kind of cut over here, and I realized, oh, crap, it's CMA because they got streets closed and everything. So had to pop a UE out here in Korean Vets, but it was
turn
fun.
Around. Say, I'm sorry, I'm not from here. Flip them off and drive.
Basically,
that usually works.
Yeah.
That's the way. Pretty much. The excuse to get by every time.
What I did. But no, it was, it's cool. It's one of the big events. I think I'm going to go tomorrow night.
Who's playing tomorrow night?
Cody Johnson. Okay. I like Cody Johnson.
Good.
And I forget, there was somebody else. Brooks and Dunn's tonight. I wouldn't mind doing that.
Oh,
too,
nice. But I don't think you'll make it tomorrow night.
Yeah, the weather's a little iffy.
It looks bad for tomorrow night.
Yeah,
so I hope you can go.
We'll see.
Brooks and Dunn. I saw the light. Whatever that song is.
We do have a great show. Steve Guttenberg is going to join us here in just a few minutes. So we will do that. And also Greg Wyshynski at 10 o'clock. If you did not watch game one of the Stanley Cup final last night, I feel bad for you because you missed a heck of a game. It was a lot of fun back and forth, needed overtime, and really almost needed two overtimes. I mean, it went down to the wire in the first overtime, and Edmonton scored the goal. But what's interesting, Predators fans, Victor Arvidsson scores and, kind of keeps Edmonton in it. Matthias Ekholm ties it up, and then Leon Draisaitl had a two-goal night, and he ends up scoring the winner in overtime. But two former Predator greats, popular Predators in Victor Arvidsson and Matthias Ekholm, the Swedes, they helped get it done last night for Edmonton. And Ekholm actually went on the post-game show with all the guys. And really cool to see, but Edmonton takes game one.
Yeah, it was I watched it. I haven't watched a hockey game since the Preds got bounced out back in early April or late March, whatever it was. But it's funny because they get overtime. So I'm thinking, oh, overtime, in the playoffs, it's none of this. There's no shootout. I mean, they're going to play till it ends, which I absolutely love. But I'm telling you, that hockey team, because didn't they score with like a minute left in the overtime?
Yeah.
They were they look like me and you. If we got out there and skated, they were exhausted, which made it fun to watch.
Sure.
Because these are pro athletes, and they're very pedestrian. I mean, they were exhausted up and down the ice. And then Draisaitl, isn't that the guy in the Nutcracker?
Maybe.
Same name, Draisaitl or something. Or
Leon.
Dusseldorf or whatever it is, and gets the shot in there. And then Edmonton goes crazy. But also Seth Jones last night playing for the Panthers. It was fun to watch. I enjoyed it last night.
Okay, leave it to Adam Vingan. Remember I said to you before we went on the air, I think Steve Guttenberg was on an episode of The Simpsons?
Yep.
It was the remember when Homer joins the secret cult and it turns out he's like the chosen one?
Yeah.
He's in that one.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the one with Burns and Grandpa and they were like
the Stonecutters.
Stonecutters. Ah, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And Patrick Stewart, isn't it? Yes. He's like the voice of the main guy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be talking to Steve Guttenberg about today.
Because remember, it has the line, who makes Steve Guttenberg a star? There's always all these guys that we have on. There's always a Simpsons connection.
Somehow, some way, right?
I mean, in the 80s and 90s, or well, the 90s, I mean, of course there was.
Yes.
But it's going to be fun. 3 Men and a Baby, Police Academy. Obviously, we just mentioned the Simpsons.
Cocoon,
so.
Man.
Cocoon.
Movie makes me cry every single time. That's the one with Wilford Brimley. He says, we won't get any older, we won't ever die. And he's like, Wilford Brimley's like 48 years old in that movie.
Yeah.
And he looks 90.
It Takes Two. I forgot he was in that movie.
Who's in that? I don't remember that movie.
Oh, who was the girl?
It Takes Two to Make the World Go Around. It Takes Two.
The Olsons. Just the Mary-Kate and Ashley.
I didn't see that one. It must have been the Chaser special when mom puts him in front of the TV when she was busy cooking.
Young Chaser. But good times.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, but all the Police Academy movies. I mean, those were just like, what is this? And then you keep watching them all. They were something else.
Anyway, we will step away a little bit early because he's calling in about 3 minutes. So we will have Steve Guttenberg on the show. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. At Kitchen Notes, it's Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Who's Atlantis off the maps? Who keeps the Martians under wraps?
We do. We do.
106.3 The Game here on this Thursday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. There you go. There it is. live at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Joe, you do the honors. Yeah. I know you're excited.
Anytime you get somebody's mentioned on The Simpsons on our show in Nashville, it's a beautiful thing. Let's welcome in the talented, the amazing, the great actor Steve Guttenberg on the Chasing Big Joe show. Steve, good morning. Thank you for doing this.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing quite well. Thank you. Have you ever been on a sports radio show in Nashville, Tennessee before?
No, this is my first time, so be gentle. But I got to tell you something. You guys run the best ED commercials ever. Oh, man. That's so cool.
Well, thank you for that.
It's amazing that you just blurt that stuff out. You know, I'm sitting there waiting. My sort of time is precious. I'm sitting here listening to your... selling the ED game. What the hell is wrong with you? What the hell is wrong with you?
Then the commercial works, Steve, so thank you. We expect your order sometime by this afternoon. So thank you.
Yeah, don't worry about me, brother. I'm fine. Don't worry.
Awesome.
We're good here.
Steve, we've got a lot to talk about, but let's first talk about you're in this new Lifetime movie, which is getting a lot of buzz, Kidnapped by a Killer, the Heather Robinson story. You play a serial killer, John Edward Robinson, the uncle of Heather Robinson, kidnapped as a baby and raised by Robinson's family. I think you're a wonderful actor, and I'm excited to see this, to see you as a serial killer. How much, I'm going to say fun was it, but how different was this for you playing this type of, I guess, creepy role?
It's such a great opportunity. I worked for Lifetime a couple years ago. I did a picture called with Cybill Shepherd, How to Murder Your Husband. And Lifetime is terrific at true crime stories. And people are terrific at murder. People love murder. They just love it. Murder in the Building, Dial Men for Murder, Give Me Murder, My Mother Loves Murder, All the Women I Know, They Love Murder. You say, do you want to see a love story or a story about murder? Give me murder. I love murder. And that's what Lifetime has built a great platform on, is these women in trouble, and I'm so glad to be part of it. It's a genre that works. Now, playing the part was a ball, because as an actor, you want to pop up different holes. The research on the other side was quite difficult because this guy had a heinous life. His actions were below despicable. He's in jail now for life on death row. But he was a fraudster. He was he extorted. He actually seduced women and murdered them, chopped them up and put them in a barrel.
God.
And he met a woman who had an infant, brought her to a hotel room, murdered her in front of the infant, and gave the infant back to, gave the infant to his brother and sister-in-law to raise as their own. just a heinous human being. So it was exciting to create the character. I wish it never happened in real life because so many people were hurt by this guy.
So when it is a true life story like this, Steve, does that make it more difficult to capture everything? Because, like, we all know this story. Or is it make it a challenge for you? Like, all right, I got to bring – unfortunately, I got to bring this guy to life in a very creepy and just wow kind of way.
You want – well, acting is real emotions in imaginary circumstances, and that's what you want to elicit. So it was exciting to – build this character, to create his posture and his walk and his look. I spent an hour and a half in makeup every day, shaved my hairline back. I gained some weight. We did props, and it turned out terrific. We painted a picture of John Robinson, the serial killer, quite realistically, I think. So I had an extremely creative time doing it, and I'm so thankful to Lifetime for giving me this opportunity.
We're talking to the fine actor Steve Guttenberg here on the Chase and Big Joe show. So looking back at some of the movies that you made in your career, I mean, obviously the Police Academy movies certainly stand out. How much fun was it making all of those? And you know, are you as – I guess how proud are you that they still stand the test of time and are so popular today?
I'm very, very fortunate to have gotten that job. Police Academy's such a one of the highest earners in the franchise business. And it, like most of my jobs, I feel very grateful to have them. Actually, all my jobs. I'm an actor and I want to work. But the great part of Three Men or Police Academy or Short Circuit, Diner, you know, there's so many that have lasted the test of time. This year is, let's see, I think this year is Police Academy's 40th anniversary. Yeah, 40 years. Just lucky to get the part. You know, I screen tested against somebody who was really talented, good looking, smart, funny, could dance, could sing, could act. And they chose me, but it was
nice
competition. You know, it always is to get a part, you know, it always is tough.
It is. All right, so I got to bring up, I mean, it's the movie Cocoon, Steve, and I know, you know, you're proud of all your movies. But that movie, I mean, with the great cast, everybody that's in there, did you, I mean, we ask this question all the time when people come on our show about they've been in successful movies, but you had to know you had something special with Cocoon, right?
I sure did. Oh, absolutely. When you read the screenplay and then you hear about the players that are involved, you know, it's not hard to say, wow, this is going to be really good. And Cocoon was one of those pictures. Ron Howard was coming off a Splash. And Dick Zanuck was the producer of Jaws. And you had, Maureen Stapleton and Hume Cronin, Jessica Tandy, Gwen Verdon, you know, and Jack Guilford. You had the best people on the planet working, the best crew. We were going to shoot in beautiful places in the Bahamas and Florida. It was pretty easy to say yes. Actually, My agents didn't want me to do Cocoon because they thought nobody's going to see a movie. I was coming off of Police Academy, I think, or Diner. But they thought nobody's going to want to see a movie about old people. But they were wrong.
Right.
So how many times did it take you to shoot the scene with Tom Selleck and you guys changing the diaper on the baby in Three Men and a Baby?
We had a great time on that movie. Just such a great time. First of all, those guys are amazing. They're such good guys. And it was a beautiful shoot. We had an incredible director, Leonard Nimoy, who's not only a famous actor, but just a really terrific director. It was a ball every day. I mean, Tom is a really good guy. Ted is a terrific person. So, you know, when you come to work with those type of people, and you got a great script, and you got a great idea, and you got Disney, and an executive like Jeffrey Katzenberg, it's, you know, not too hard.
Yeah, and then, I mean, that movie, were you surprised? It's a great movie, but did you think it would take off the way Three Men and a Baby did? Because I remember we all saw that movie. I think it was the summer of 87. Just exploded. Did you have any idea for that movie, Steve, how successful it would be?
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it from the get-go. It was it was going to be terrific because the script was great. It was a huge hit in France. It was a no-brainer. I mean, sometimes you have to take the good with the good, and this was really good.
Yeah, it was. Steve Guttenberg is on the line on the Chase and Big Joe show. Steve, I follow your Instagram stories and stories that you do about gratitude. Chase and I are big proponents of mental health and men reaching out and men talking and men finding their place and, just talking. Why is all that so important to you? Because I'm telling you, what you talk about is beautiful and it's deep and it's personal. Why did you feel the need to do this?
Well, I started when my dad was in the hospital, and 3 a.m, I would come outside, have nobody to talk to. And a friend of mine said, just talk to the internet. People will write back. So I did. And I found a lot of people were in the same place as me. But I just started to try to talk about what I think about, which is pretty universal. The truth is, a mechanic in Iran is the same as a mechanic in Japan. And a teacher in London is the same as a teacher in Venezuela. And a mother in Des Moines, Iowa, is the same as a mother in Afghanistan. We're all the same. We all look different. We come from different countries. We speak different languages. But we're all the same. So I do think that our thoughts are similar as human beings. And what I can talk about on my site, maybe people can glean some relevance from and relate to, So that's how I do it.
I think it's a beautiful thing. Again, Steve Guttenberg, the new Lifetime movie, Kidnapped by a Killer, the Heather Robinson story, premieres on Lifetime this Saturday, June 7th. It's got a lot of buzz. Steve, this is an honor. Thank you. Thank you for the movies. I'll go back and watch Cocoon this afternoon and cry again like I always do. Thank you, my man. We appreciate you.
Thanks a lot for having me on your show, and I appreciate you guys taking a look at our movie.
Thanks so much, Steve. We appreciate it. Steve Guttenberg, the fine actor here on the Chase and Big Joe show. And again, as Joe mentioned, Kidnapped by a Killer, the Heather Robinson story, debuts Saturday on Lifetime. And really, it was funny when I pulled up IMDb. And
right.
It's the scene of 3 men and a baby. They're changing the diaper, and Tom Selleck holds the baby up and just pees all over.
I mean, you're in there with Ted Danson and Tom Selleck.
Two of the biggest stars of the 80s.
Yeah, I will tell you, do not go see Cocoon with your mom.
Okay.
It's I'm telling you, I saw my mom in 1985 and she cried the entire, I mean, it's that powerful of a movie. Brian Dennehy, Tommy Callahan's dad's in that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Brian Dennehy's in it. It's a wonderful movie, and he plays such an innocent character that it truly is one of the most underrated, fantastic movies of all time.
Well, very, very good. Cool to, we like to mix in the pop culture.
Right, man.
So
with the opportunity to throw Steve Guttenberg. Give me a break. We had Shooter McGavin, Bubba Gump. Take all these people.
We've had quite a few.
Nani.
Nani was on.
Nani was the best. Dr. Crane. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Coming up next, I saw this when I logged on to ESPN.com this morning. And I'm noticing a theme when it comes to the Titans. And I don't know if I should be happy about that or worried. I'll tell you what I mean. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, we're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. And Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. It's always about great service. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday. Appreciate Steve Guttenberg for joining the show. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. And, man, what a fun interview that was. That was good. I saw this morning, and I've seen, John Robinson was on Good Morning Football the last few days. And, there was one of the hosts was high on the Titans and saying it was going to be a comeback year with Cam Ward. And I've seen that in a few different places. ESPN.com has ranking the NFL's most likely worst to first teams – in 2025.
All right.
We're truly in list season.
Right, we are.
So number one, and I think this is a safe one, the San Francisco 49ers out of the NFC West. They went 6-11 last year. We've kind of seen them do this. They just got Brock Purdy locked up. I think that's a safe bet that they could bounce back and win the division.
Right.
They've been a good team. They got a good coach. Good makeup there. Number two, and this I find interesting as well, the Chicago Bears in the NFC North.
All right.
They were 5-12 last year, second year with Caleb Williams. They got a new coach, and Ben Johnson. So we can see there. Number three, Mike Vrabel and the New England Patriots, AFC East.
They'll be better.
4-13, but win the division better.
No,
I don't think so.
Bills are going to run that.
Number four, I definitely don't think this. The NFC South, New Orleans Saints at 5-12. And finally, at number five, the Tennessee Titans, improving from 3-14. Their odds of making the playoffs, 14.8%, which is 14th in the AFC.
Again,
their odds of winning the division, 8.9%.
You just got to be better than three teams.
Yeah, you do.
And they're probably equal with the Colts and Jags. And the Texans fired their offensive coordinator, and C.J. Stroud was not very good during the last part of last season. They let their best lineman go. There's the opportunity there to reach in and take it. Now, the Titans have no defense.
That's the problem.
They have no defense. And the fact they let the defense get this bad is pretty embarrassing.
Yep.
And I blame Rand, Vrabel, Robinson, all those guys. I don't blame Borgonzi because that was not his problem right now. But until you fix that, you're going to be a 4-13, 5-12 team. That's what you're going to be right now.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You know, the fact that Jeffrey Simmons isn't at OTAs bothers me, but whatever. You know, they never seem to care about that because he can do no wrong. But they're going to have to get to the quarterback, and they haven't done a lot to address getting to the quarterback. You know, they drafted the kid that just started being a pass rusher last year, so we'll see.
Bad pick.
Tavondre Sweat, to me, with where they picked him last year, he's got to get to the quarterback.
I disagree. That's not what interior defensive lineman does.
Then you don't take him at 38.
You get him to create chaos in the middle of the field and free up other guys to go.
Well, that's what Jeffrey Simmons is for.
Then you got two of them, so it should be even better.
Yeah.
One guy can't. You can't double team Simmons.
Okay.
If Sweat's going to do that. You can't double team Sweat if Simmons is going to do that. You can't do that.
I don't disagree with you, but I don't spend the 38th pick or whatever it was on that.
I concur.
And they did that. Yep. So to me, if you're spending that kind of pick, he needs to get to the quarterback.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. We got drunk off Warren Sapp and Jarrell Casey.
Sure.
Right. Interior linemen don't get to the quarterback a lot. When they do, it's like, but the fact they can push the pile back and the fact you got to run everything outside the tackles, that's why you get guys inside to create all that chaos in there. But I'm not looking to – I know somebody's like, I only got one sack last year. Well, fine. How much chaos did he consume in the middle of the field, him and Simmons? If those two guys could occupy the guard, the center and the two guards, and the 1, 2, 3, 4 gaps, A, B, C, D, that's a win. Then you free up nine other guys to make plays, and I like that. So, but I'm not looking at him like, he didn't get all the – I don't care, man. If you get a sack, that's cherry on top, brother.
Weston Hermitage, Titans have no defense, but good thing Big Jeff is leading by – oh, well, never mind.
Right? And we're spending far too much time on free agent slot receivers.
Yeah.
Too much time on these guys. I mean, that's great. If he makes it, it's fine, but that slot receiver position is – vital, but it's not the position that's going to get you to the playoffs. I want to see Ridley step up and Lockett and Van Jefferson. If you're going to be a vertical football team, let's see these receivers and the quarterback and all that.
All right, so we assume Ridley.
Don't assume.
We assume Ridley is going to be the number one receiver on this team, right? He should be.
He should be.
Amount of money that they're paying him. Who's number two?
It's going to be Lockett.
Lockett?
Yeah.
I would think so.
I get no problem with veteran receivers.
I don't either.
Boy, his speed. Well, he's got technique.
Here's the other thing.
And he knows how to run the route.
You just kind of reminded me of this. And I need to ask him this too. So we have the two wide receivers they drafted in the fourth round this year, right?
Uh-huh.
DK, which I think we all kind of look at as maybe a little bit of a reach. He probably would have been there a little bit later on, but they liked him, so they took him. And then Aya Manor, that they also took later in the fourth round. I don't hate either pick, but Are we putting a little too much faith into a fourth-round pick blossoming? And is some of that from Titans fans based on the fact that Derek Mason was a fourth-round pick and he turned into the best receiver the team's ever had?
I think Derek Mason figures zero into that. I think Titans.
I'm talking about fans. I'm just talking about the fans.
They don't know where Derek Mason was drafted. They just know he was a great receiver.
Okay. All right.
I don't think it matters. I just think somebody there catch the ball.
Sure.
Move the ball down the field. I don't care where you get drafted.
But I feel like that in all the talk, because they're the only ones that they drafted, of like, oh, yeah, they're, you know, Alec Iomanner, he's going to be great this year. Well, he was a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
I hope he is great.
Who was a guy from Louisville they took that was terrible? Fitzpatrick.
Des Fitzpatrick. Yeah.
So you just, that's the thing, you don't know.
And remember who they passed on.
St. Brown, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Amon-Ra.
I mean, that's the thing. We can go back and look at all. We could spend a whole show about, oh, you should have got this guy instead of that guy. It's just, it would waste your time. I just think they've got to get guys in there who want to win. And at some point, you'll hit on somebody, right? Hopefully, these are the guys you hit on. You got the quarterback. You got his tight end now. I mean, there's a lot of positives on this football team going forward. Then you look at the defense side of the ball and like, oh, God, here we go now. But if you can find some Pollard's good. If Spears is healthy to help him out, I like that. They got that running back from the Niners and the Eagles from the other day. They draft free agency. They picked in, brought him in. Some more depth right there. They've got guys. But, again, we won't know how good this is until that Denver game in September.
You know what just makes me depressed? When I pull up the Titans roster and I look at the receiver room. Yep. Iomanner. Traylon Burks, DK, Colton Towle, Jaquan Jackson, Van Jefferson, Mason Kinsey in his 18th training camp with the Titans, Tyler Lockett, Bryce Oliver, James Prochet the second, Xavier Restrepo, Calvin Ridley, and TJ Sheffield.
How many guys is that?
Almost enough to field let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. They have 13 on the roster, and I don't know if any of them are any good.
Half of them are going to be gone, right? They're going to carry six, right? That's what they're going to carry?
Probably.
That's just terrible. But, you know, get them in there and see what you can do. See if you could produce. See if you could be anything to go for helping this football team going forward. I don't know. I mean, it's training camp. It's summertime. We don't know. We'll see. If they do those joint practices, man, that tells us so much, because that's true practice against another team. So
well, I think
they're
doing two of them. I think they're doing Tampa and Atlanta.
Should. So, they should.
I mean, Atlanta's just down the road.
Just down the road. 4 hours with a time change.
With you driving, more like three.
Three, maybe less than that, man. Get a Vermont Eagle going 100. To see that. No, I mean, look, Cam can't be throwing 13 guys during camp.
No.
You know, they know the three or four that's there. They know that.
Here was Calvin Ridley talking about the receivers in the room at camp right now.
Oh, man, I love them. You know, I hate this, you know, part of the year. You always get a bunch of really good football players. All of them are good, you know, and we want all of them. But you can't keep all of them. But I just think, you know, they've done – no, way more than they should. You know, they're great. They're really good.
Great.
That's not like he's running for Miss America. How do you feel about society and the beach? Oh, it's great. I love the beach.
I feel like I know this didn't happen, but I feel like that clip goes with like you ask Colton Dowell, hey, what do you think about Calvin Ridley? I haven't met him yet. that's kind of what it felt like.
Right. Would have been that.
But you look at this group of 13. I mean, who are the six? Ridley, Lockett, those are two. I mean, Iomanner's probably three.
Van Jefferson
could be four.
He's been in some big games.
I mean, as much as I hate to say it, if he makes it through training camp, Traylon Burks is probably still on the roster.
There's no way. There's no way he occupies a spot on his team. He's just not – he doesn't love football.
No, he doesn't.
He's not a good player.
All right, DK –
there should be a whole 30 for 30 on John Robinson, Vrabel, Amy Adams, Traylon Burks, and the A.J. Brown in the 2022 draft. There has to be.
Titans fans would watch it.
It would be something else in the predicament that we're in now with all that with Treylon Burks. I mean, a panic pick of John Robinson, terrible, and look what it got him to where they are right now. I mean, that would be something. So I think Burks is not, he can't be in the room, Chase. He can't.
I mean,
he's hurt anyway. So I think if they saw that he's hurt, like, all right, injury settlement, just stay hurt, and we'll take care of that and be gone.
Well, and I think the same with Levis. I mean, I think both of those guys need to be gone.
Yeah.
Because they need fresh starts. You know, or
what's Burks a fresh start? I'm doing the Will Levis interview the other day. See that?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
What do you mean by fresh start? Means going to trade your ass to another team.
Be getting out of here, man.
What that means, Will.
They're going to roll you to another team.
Take your mayonnaise and go somewhere.
They're going to flip you off to another team somewhere that somewhere you did with this team. No,
you know what would be so ironic if he ended up in Chicago as the backup?
They don't want him. Nobody wants him. Nobody wants him because they're going to see what happens. You put him in a game.
I know.
He does that. The flip, the rolling the ball.
The hope you have to have is that there is an arrogant coach somewhere, and they're everywhere, that thinks, I can fix him.
You're going to waste your time on – would you waste your time on Will Levis? Would you waste your – after seeing what he's done the last 2 years, would you waste a single second on him?
Would I? Know?
Exactly.
But there are some that would. And you know it. You've seen it. You've seen it for
years. I don't know why you would.
You've seen egotistical offensive coordinators or head coaches that think that they can turn Sean Mark into Brett Favre and, you know,
I don't know, man. I think there'd already been some interest for that guy now, something, and there's been nothing. They know.
Maybe there has been, and we don't know about it.
They would leak out. Somebody would say, hey, so-and-so had interest in him, and then gone. I think if he gets cut, I think for some reason, Sean Payton in Denver.
I could see that, or Jacksonville.
You remember when Luke Falk was drafted by the team in 2018?
Yes.
He gets cut. They only had four picks that year. Harold Landry, Luke Falk, Rashawn Evans, who was an awful, 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 awful pick. And they cut Luke Falk at the end of camp. Remember who picked him up?
It was whoever they were playing.
Yeah, the Dolphins, right? Week one. Then they cut him after week one. Teams know, man. I mean, they just know. I would not waste a second on Will Levis. Just wouldn't do it.
But, again, I'll ask you the same question I asked you last week.
No, I'm not going over to your house tonight.
Right now, Brandon Allen or Will Levis is the backup.
I'll take Brandon Allen.
Okay. He knows the system.
He does know the system.
He's worked with Callahan before.
Do you really want to see Will Levis back
on
the field?
No, I don't want to see Will Levis back on the field.
I don't know why people want to see Will Levis back on the field. I don't understand that.
I mean, I don't know if they do. I mean, I think it's just –
Right.
You feel
bad. You had your shot. You had your opportunity. It didn't work out. You got benched for Mason Rudolph with your shoulder injury that you had or whatever that was. And it just wasn't good. Time to move on. It's okay.
Lester says, how about this question for Titans wide receivers, boxers or briefs? 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, we're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Greg Wyshynski coming up at 10 o'clock. And I have a question for Predators fans. How did you feel about Victor Arvidsson and Matthias Ekholm kind of showing out last night in game one of the Stanley Cup final? Or did you care? I'm curious. We'll discuss that coming up next. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds continue their series against the Braves AAA affiliate, the Gwinnett Stripers, at First Horizon Park. Pre-game begins at 6:20, the first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.
Comes McDavid. Over the line it goes to Kapanen. Back to McDavid. Puts in front. Matthias Ekholm has tied it.
Kane going into a position that takes three bodies. Watch the collapse on Kane. It goes right by him. And a great offensive-minded play by Ekholm there. Sniff in, get into that soft area, and he pounces on that puck as it goes past Kane and brings this place to their feet.
That's how it sounded last night on TNT. Stanley Cup Final, game number one. I'm surprised that Dr. Crane didn't play Pink Pony Club because apparently that's Edmonton's victory song. And Wayne Gretzky had no idea what it was. It was great.
Wayne on those shows.
He doesn't have the personality.
He doesn't.
He doesn't. I think that
It's the great one, but it's not the great one on TV.
You know, I like the crew that they have. I think Leah McHugh does a fantastic job as the anchor, and you know, Biz and Hank, like all those guys are good. But yeah, it's obviously a little bit different with the great one. But Marco Sturm's been hired as the head coach of the Boston Bruins, so I believe that fills all the openings. And we'll ask Greg Wyshynski about that coming up in a few minutes. But last night, two of the heroes for Edmonton in their comeback overtime win were Victor Arvidsson and Mattias Ekholm, two former Predators, of course, that played in the Stanley Cup final with the Predators back in 2017. And so I asked the question, you know, did you care? Did you love it? Did it bother you? 0247 said, absolutely love it. Hope Edmonton wins the cup because of them. I mean, I think that that's kind of where I'm at. I would love to see those two guys. Both of them. But Ekholm was just so, I thought, underrated when he was here as a defenseman. And Arvidsson, too. But, you know, I'll always have the moment of the night that they won the Western Conference Final. I went in to do my post-game interview, and it was with Ekholm. And, I mean, he was fighting back tears and just like he looked at me and he's like, is this real and stuff. And I mean, it was a really cool moment. So I love that for him and his family and Arvidsson too. So we'll see. I mean, it's one game. I think Florida's going to come back. I mean, Florida's not worried. They've been in this position before, but you said you watched it too.
It was just exciting. I mean, it's a Stanley Cup final. I mean, I'm not going to watch. I watched zero hockey.
Yeah.
Up until last night. To me, I don't care. Championship games, I do care. And that was fun last night watching it because it is the championship game that goes on. I'm looking at Arvidsson, and this is a thing with players, right? So when Arvidsson left here, he went to the Kings for three seasons, and now he's in the Edmonton, right?
Yep.
All right. So hockey's different when guys come here and they pour their soul out because they go to four or five different – like Craig Smith, where'd he go? People loved him.
Yeah, he's bounced around to
Boston,
Dallas, Washington, Chicago.
Jeez.
And then he got traded somewhere.
You have a short stint in Vegas?
No, one Vegas. That's you're thinking of James Neal. Where was the other one?
Well, yeah. It's just the thing of they play for so many other different teams, but when
Detroit.
Come here, and Arvidsson was here for 8 or 9 years. You fall in love with these guys, and same with Ekholm, and they go and do that. But like, unlike the NFL, a guy might get traded. He might be with two teams or three teams, whatever. It's a far different. But the relationship between hockey fans and football fans is different. So when you pose that question, a lot of people will be like, "Yeah, we want to see these guys win because we enjoyed." Preds aren't in this. So now you can enjoy these guys getting their accolades.
So here's the other thing, and I know Jared's going to talk about this afternoon. I'm sure DVD will get into it too. I watched that game last night in both those teams, and I just said, man, Preds are just not there yet.
Oh, not even close.
I mean, you look at how fast both those teams are. Mm-hmm. You know, now, look, not everybody's going to luck into – a McDavid and Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins. I mean, like, these are guys that were all first-round picks, early first-round picks. McDavid is game-changing, generational, and Draisaitl might be too. But, you know, I just look at this, and then on the other side, you know, Reinhardt and Tkachuk and Bennett and all the guys that – Seth. Now they've got Seth Jones.
Yep.
Yeah. What was that?
Construction?
I don't know. I heard a
you okay?
tap or something. But I just they're just not there yet.
No.
And I mean, can they get back to being a playoff contender in one off season? Yeah, probably. But can they become a Stanley Cup contender? No. I think it's still going to take some time, and that's where and that's Barry Trotz's plan. He wants to build through the draft. I mean, and that doesn't happen in a year. You're going to have the fifth overall pick this year. At least right now is the plan there. You got two other first-round picks that obviously you can use as currency, and then a ton of other draft picks over the course of the next few years. But it's just – it really puts it into perspective when you watch a game like that last night of just how hard it is to win that trophy. And quite frankly, how far away the Preds are.
I mean, far away. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's equally as far away as the Titans are getting the Super Bowl. I mean, they are both far.
Who's
far.
Closer?
Well, that's the age-old question. Neither?
Yeah, probably.
Neither. Yeah. Neither one of them are. Titans are not good. Preds are not good.
But who? But then the I think the easy answer is, who do you trust more to get back there? And to me, it's the Preds.
I think it's easier to win the Super Bowl.
Probably, but I trust the organization because they have a track record of doing it more than the Titans do.
It's going to be a long time for this team competes. The Preds on any sort of level, and sorry Willie, hate to tell you that, but this team ain't good, and. You saw last night by that.
Sure. I mean, compared to the two teams that are left, right. Like, you know.
That's what you should compare yourself to.
But I think, so here's the weird part. I think the Stanley Cup is the hardest trophy in sports to win. But hockey is a sport that, when you talk about turnarounds, you can do it quicker than maybe in the NFL. You can do it quicker than the NFL.
Okay.
Because you can – it's just the way it works – with free agency and trades and, you know, the contracts and stuff, you look at a super team like Florida where, I mean, you manipulate the cap like no other.
Right.
And the cap exists more in hockey than it does in the NFL.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I agree. But, it's to get into the Stanley Cup to win that thing is you got to go through all the different games. I mean, hell, you got to play. I mean, if you play game set, that's 28 games.
Oh, yeah.
You have to play. Hell, that's like a third of the season that you got to play in halfway through April, May, and June. I mean, there's a lot that goes in with that. I think getting to the Super Bowl is easier because you can win your division, get in, win a couple games, and you're there. I mean, it's not easy, obviously, but compared to both of those, I think getting to the Super Bowl is a lot easier than it is getting the Stanley Cup.
Greg Wyshynski was there. We talked to him from ESPN coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe. The PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June 12th at Municipal Auditorium. And you can be there. Text in the keyword MATCH, M-A-T-C-H, to 615-737-1025 now. To be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets, visit pflmma.com/schedule for more details.